Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, God, we magnify your name, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today is Valentine's Day. Amen, the day that men are expected to put forth an additional effort to acknowledge their sweethearts and show them that they love them. Amen. But I woke up this morning. It's actually serious. No. I love and appreciate my wife very much. She's not here in this service right now. She's getting ready for a youth sale after church. But I love and appreciate my wife very much. But my wife understands and respects that my heart belongs to Jesus Christ before it belongs to her. And our marriage works very well because we have that understanding. And I woke up this morning with my thought process about Valentine's Day a little bit different than it normally is, with an overwhelming appreciation for the love relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. If we can't get that right, we can't get anything else right. Amen. And such a great appreciation for the faithfulness of our God. God is a faithful God. Amen. If he said that he would do it, that means he's going to do it. It might not be in our time frame or the time frame that we expect, but God's timing is perfect. And if God said he would do it, he will do it. Amen. And I just have an overwhelming appreciation for the faithfulness of my God. I have an overwhelming appreciation for the fact that my God is able. That if I come to him with a need that is greater than I think it's impossible. It's an impossible circumstance. My God is able. I know that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could possibly imagine. Why? Because I've taken to him impossible situations and he's made possible those impossible situations. Amen. And so I believe that and I appreciate that, but even more so this morning, I appreciate the fact that my God is willing, that he wants to do, he's able to do, he's faithful to do. And I feel in the Holy Ghost that somebody needs to hear this morning, that God wants to. God wants to do the miracle in your life. God wants to perform a healing in your life. God wants to use you despite all of my shortcomings. Despite all of the times that I'm sure God has looked down at me and I've been praying the same prayers, struggling with the same things, and he's probably just up there, man, when are you going to get it together? That he is still wants to use me. And it doesn't matter what you came here with this morning, where you're at, God wants to use you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to do something right now. This morning, I just went over into the pastoral office wing over there before I came up here. And our pastor is laying on the floor in his office because he is in pain. His stomach hurts. I'm not sure what's going on, but we're going to bind together right now in prayer for our pastor. And also for Martha Chernikowski. She's laying on the couch and she's having some pain in her legs as a result from the aneurysm that she had. And they believe that blood can go from the aneurysm down the spine. And they tell her, just wait it out 3 months, because that's how long blood can live. Well, we're not gonna let her wait it out 3 months. Amen. God is going to take that blood and remove it from her spine right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind that blood, Lord God. We command it to leave the spinal column, Lord Jesus. We command the pain to be relieved, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we claim that healing right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for our pastor right now. Lord God, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's the cause of the pain, but you do. You made the body. You created the digestive system and all of the internal workings, God. We claim a healing touch on our pastor right now, God. We pray that your healing virtue you would flow over him right now, Lord Jesus, and he would be instantly relieved from the pain. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim it in your name, God. Hallelujah, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. Amen. We begin our text this morning is found in 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46. And you can remain standing and we'll read that. It's on the overhead. All right. 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went up and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And this morning I would like to preach to this congregation from the text where they said there was nothing. Where they said there was nothing. If you could join me in prayer one more time, lifting up your voices and your hands to heaven. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified this morning. Lord God, I release faith into this place this morning, God. Lord, I bind all doubt, Lord Jesus. I bind, Lord God, anything that might come as a distraction, Lord God, from your word, Lord. And I pray that your word would go forth, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. We all know the story. Israel is being ruled by a wicked king named Ahab. He has not only led Israel away from God into idolatry, but he also married the witch named Jezebel. Together they led the children of Israel into deep rebellion and a lifestyle of false worship. But God raised up a prophet that would not be shaken and would not compromise, and God sent him to confront the spirit of wickedness and false religion. Elijah confronted Ahab and the false prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven. Amen. But now the people have repented and the false prophets have all been destroyed. And in our text, the prophet, the man of God, has prophesied that the rain is coming. Amen. That the drought is over. He tells Ahab, "Don't worry. Cheer up, bud. The rain is coming. The rain is on its way." So Ahab goes up to eat and to drink, but Elijah goes away by himself along with his servant. He throws himself down to the earth and begins to pray. He sends his servant out to look towards the sea and see if there's any evidence of change. To see if there's any sign of the rain coming. His servant comes back with a bad report. He comes back with a negative report. He comes back with nothing. He reports to the man of God that there's nothing. We just received this promise from God, yet there's nothing. He sends his servant out to look towards the sea again. Six times the servant leaves the prophet to wrestle with God while he scans the heavens for a sign, for any evidence that God has heard their prayer, and six times the report comes back the same. Six times the report comes back, there's nothing. There wasn't any mistaking his words. They were very clear and they were very sharp and to the point. There is nothing. There's nothing there. It's no doubt that these words had an effect on Elijah, but a true man of faith is not shaken by what he does not see or what he does see. Amen. Instead of being discouraged and giving up, Elijah turns the heat up, the Bible says. He begins to press his request. He intensifies his prayer. He takes the negative report as a challenge. God told him to appear before Ahab and he would send the rain. And so he stands upon the promise and the word of God. And the Bible says that Elijah prayed fervently. Fervently means showing great warmth or intensity. he prayed with a greater intensity. And finally, on the seventh time, the servant returns back with a side note. There's still nothing, but I see rising up over the sea a cloud just the size of my hand. Hallelujah. And so the poor servant was ready to hear the words that he's heard so many other times when he came back with the negative report, go back out and look again. But he doesn't hear that this time. Instead, Elijah jumps up off of his knees and he says, go and tell Ahab to get his chariot ready. Amen. He says, tell him to get down off of the mountain because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Amen. Not just any regular rain, Pastor Mackey, not just a little sprinkling coming down. You would think what a cloud this size would produce would be very minuscule, but he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And this is the word that God put in my spirit and told me to communicate to the church. He said, tell my people, in the place where they said there's nothing, is going to come forth an abundance. I don't know who exactly I'm talking to this morning, and I don't know what it means to you, but you do. You know the prayers that you've prayed. You know the times that you've spent talking to God, the things that you've sought after, and the promises that he's given you. You know what that means to you. Somebody's heard these words, there's nothing. Not once, not twice, but three times, four times, over and over again. There's no hope. There's no money. There's no way. There's no love. There's no chance. There's no change. There's nothing left. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that doctors can do. Amen. Sister Moran heard that one time, but she has an awesome testimony about how God healed her of cancer. Amen. That friend or that family member that will never be saved, there's nothing. The words are meant to signify an end. In other words, you can go ahead and quit praying now. You can quit confessing. You can quit believing, quit pressing, quit dreaming, quit praying, quit praising. But I'm here to tell the church of God, do not stop. Do not quit. Don't stop confessing God's word. Don't quit marching around those walls, because in the same place that they said there was nothing, God is going to produce and bring forth an abundance. Amen. They may mean your doctor or your bank statement. They may mean your husband or maybe even your wife. They may mean your addictions or your strongholds. Amen. I always hate it when people call a drug addiction a disease, because society looks at drug addiction, they look at a disease as something that may be incurable. Amen. But when I came to the Lord with my drug addictions, Brother Mark Nikelski, it wasn't a disease. It was a stronghold in my life. And when I gave that to God, he took that from me. Amen. Hallelujah. They may mean your prodigals that have told you that I'm never coming back to church. You can stop praying for me. You can stop covering me in prayer, because I walked away from that place. I'm never going back. Amen. They may be a friend or people around you that are telling you to give up on your dreams, that maybe your calling isn't really a calling. Amen. They may mean your circumstances that stand in total, absolute contradiction to your faith. But I remind you that it always gets darker just before the dawn. Hallelujah. That warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. A woman never becomes closer to dying than just before they give birth, the miracle of life. Just before your breakthrough, you will fight your greatest battle. Amen. How many of you have experienced that already in praying and fasting, that you've fought that battle and you've received the breakthrough? But God's not done with Calvary Gospel Church until every single person receives that breakthrough. Let me say it like this: your abundance is just beyond nothing. You say, I can't see anything, Brother Carl. I don't feel anything anymore. I don't have any evidence in my life. I may not have any evidence from a natural perspective, but I have confidence that God's word is true and that right now you're in the perfect position for your miracle. Peter fished all night long without catching a single fish. But then with just one word from Jesus, he went from nothing to overflowing. Hallelujah. He went from no fish to more fish than his boat could hold. Hallelujah. I've got confidence that God's word is true. Amen. He had to call his partners over and bring their boats and bring other boats to fill because there was so much that God was pouring out into his life. Somebody needs to know today that it's closer than you think. That you may have came in this place this morning discouraged, but you're not going to leave this place like that. That God's got something for you. Amen. You're on the brink of your breakthrough. Why do you think hell has been fighting you so hard, pushing against you so hard? I know that you can't see it, but God is working in the dark places of your life. Amen. I'm glad that God works the night shift. Hallelujah. He does his best work in the dark seasons of our lives. That even when we can't trace his hands, we can trust his heart. And whether you can see it or not, all things will work together for your good. For those that love the Lord, amen, and are called according to his purpose. Isaac was dwelling in a land stricken with famine. That means no rain, severe drought, no crops, no food. It was a desolate place, horrible conditions. Amen. He thought maybe he should go to another place. Maybe he should look for better conditions or a better environment. Better weather, better ground, more suitable. But God said no. He said, stay here and sow your seed where there's nothing. I'm sure Isaac was criticized and ridiculed. I'm sure they called him a fool for wasting his seed, sowing into drought-stricken land. But God obeyed the word of the Lord. He sowed his seed in the land where there was nothing. And then there came forth an abundance. He reaped in the same year, the Bible says, 100-fold in the very same place that there was nothing. And I want to tell somebody this morning that if you're looking for a better circumstance or a better environment, if you're looking for more favorable conditions to hold on, that God's going to bless you right where you are. Amen. It seems that you're in a place where there's nothing, but God is going to bring forth that abundance. Hallelujah. I know it's hard to keep pressing when there's no visible evidence of change. I know it's hard to keep tithing and sowing your seed when you're in financial famine. It's hard to praise God for a healing when your body is wrecked in pain. Jesus. I know it's hard to stay positive when everything around you seems negative. It's hard to keep believing that God will send the rain when you've been stuck in that dry place for so long. And I know by the Spirit that I'm talking to some people tonight that have been stuck in possibly a spiritual drought. Amen. A drought means scarcity. It means lacking or deficiency, emptiness or dryness. You may be in a spiritual drought in your life. You haven't felt God in a long time. Hallelujah. And your spirit is dry and empty. But I'm here to tell you that God has a desire to pour his spirit out in your life. If you would just step forth and step forward this morning and say, God, I've been in this place for long enough. I've been in this place for long enough. I want more. I want to feel you. I want more from you. I want you to overflow in my life. God wants to do that this morning. Hallelujah. It may be a drought in your health. You've been in a long, hard battle and you're exhausted. You don't feel like you can fight another day. Amen. But I came this morning to declare by the word of the Lord that your healing is in this place this morning. Amen. There's an anointing in this place this morning and a spirit of deliverance and healing in this place this morning that if the people of God would just respond to that, God wants to do something amazing. I've heard all the negative reports and all the discouraging words. I've heard all the dream killers and the faith assassinators. Amen. I've heard the dry bones talking about how dry they are and how hopeless it is. I've heard the weather report. There's no relief in sight. There's no rain in the forecast, Elijah. Now the prophet standing in the place where he heard the words, there is nothing, now turns and says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. In other words, it's already been released in the heavens. Hallelujah. It's already on his way. Heaven's radar has already located it. It's in your country. It's in your county. It's in your town. It's in your neighborhood. It's right here at Calvary Gospel Church. It's beginning to come down. I don't know, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God, what people are struggling with in this place this morning, God. But I know, Lord God, that your anointing and your presence is in this place right now, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open up the floodgates of heaven, God, and begin to send down the rain, Lord God. Send down the healing, Lord God. Send down the deliverance, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. The anointing is changing in your season right now. The yoke-destroying, burden-removing anointing is in the house right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We magnify you, God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The servant comes back the seventh time and says, I don't know what this means, prophet. I don't know what this means exactly, but I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. The servant didn't know it, but Elijah knew exactly what that meant. And I'm here to tell you that God sent the servant of the Lord to tell you that your breakthrough is on its way. It's coming right now. Your healing's on its way. Your deliverance is on its way. I don't know what it means to you, but you do. God's getting ready to reward you. Blessings are coming your way. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is coming your way. Your tears of sorrow are getting ready to be turned into tears of joy. Hallelujah. You may be standing in the middle of a desert, and you may be staring at nothing but sand, or you may be standing in the middle of a valley of dry bones with nothing but death and emptiness or confusion. But I want to remind you that it was into Ezekiel's boneyard that the wind of God began to blow, and he began to put back together everything that had been stolen, everything that had been broken. And in that moment, God rose up a mighty army. Amen. And if we could have our musicians please come. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm here to tell you that in the midst of your dry boneyard, God is going to raise up an army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. We read in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, about the woman with the issue of blood. And when I prepared this message to preach, it was to be preached last Sunday evening when Pastor Roy preached in the morning his faith message. He touched on this topic. He spoke about the woman with the issue of blood, and God pressed that upon my heart as I prayed over the afternoon and preached, prayed and prepared for it, and praise God that he had a different plan last Sunday night. The Lord took over, and we got what we needed at Calvary Gospel Church last night, or last Sunday night. But we read in this chapter, the 8th chapter of the Bible, starting in verse 40. And it says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was at a ruler of a synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes, they throng you, they press you, and you say, who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I have perceived power going out from me.' Now, when the woman saw that Jesus was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. All last Sunday afternoon, I prayed, and all last Sunday afternoon, the Lord kept pressing this into my spirit as in the morning our pastor preached about victory. He said the Lord kept saying that faith plus desperation equals victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can stand all over the house this morning. The Bible says that the multitudes thronged him. The word throng means to swarm and to surge and to cluster. And it's very important that as we look at this text, we understand that this was a woman, and at the time, it was a man's world. Times were different back then there. It was inappropriate for a woman to be approaching Jesus in public, let alone pressing through the crowds to get to him. Hallelujah. But I can imagine that this little woman watching Jesus walk by, and she saw all the chaos of the multitudes, that in that moment she made it up in her mind that I've got something wrong with me. I've lived with this thing for long enough. The doctors couldn't fix me. The healers and physicians could not do anything for me. I have no money left, but that right there is the Son of Man. That right there is Jesus Christ. And the multitude was swarming, but she was determined that if I can just touch a piece of him, if I can just grab hold of a part of him, not even him, but just the hem of his garment, that I will be restored. And she began to press through the crowd, and I'm sure she got knocked around a little bit, and I'm sure she got beat up a little bit and maybe kicked around a little bit, but she kept pressing forward until finally she reached out and she was able to grab hold of a portion of the master's garment, and she was healed instantly. It was such an act of faith and desperation that it demanded the attention of Jesus. Hallelujah. He stopped and he asked, "Who touched me?" The disciples must have thought that he lost it. They said, "Master, the multitude throngs you. They swarm around you, yet you ask, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "I felt power going from me." Church, power of God moves when faith meets desperation. Hallelujah. And I wonder if there's anybody in this place right now that's willing to say, "I don't care what the rest of the crowd is doing. I don't care if it seems out of place for me." I know that sometimes we get caught up in the fact that we've been Christians for a long time, and sometimes it deters us from coming and getting what we need from God. But I wonder if we can put all of that aside and say that if I can just reach out and grab a hold of the Master, I don't care what people think. I've lived with this situation for long enough. I'm going to touch the Master. I'm here to say to somebody that the drought is over. Tonight, this morning, I'm putting my umbrella away. I'm putting it back in the closet, and I'm going to let the Holy Ghost rain pour out into my life. I'm ready to let God do his work in my life.